The title of my talk is God Says I Can Change or Be Changed. Now I've got to believe it. I'm sorry you haven't got a PowerPoint this morning, because my computer is rather slow and it needs some more memory, doesn't it, Richard? But not only that. But I can change. Amen. Or be changed. That's the theme I've been given this morning, which I'm going to share with you on. But we're not just change for change's sake, is it? We want to change because we want to be more like the one we've been singing about, the Lord Jesus. That others may see Christ lives in me and want to love him too. And God wanted a people. Firstly, he chose Israel. He wanted them to demonstrate that they belong to God. And we know the history of the Jews. The ups and the downs. But then he sends Jesus. And Jesus has his disciples. And his disciples want to be like him. They're not only followers, they wanted to be disciples. And you remember they said to him, Lord, will you teach us to pray? And he suggests, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. On earth, just as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know it, don't you? Well, there's a song that's been written using some of those words. And I'm going to play it now, and then we'll sing it all together at the end. Takes about 5 minutes, I think, but you listen to it. You can sing along now if you want to.
Thank you.
exuberant young people singing there. But even we elders can be exuberant too, can't we? Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. And because of that, I have confidence to say, I can change or be changed. I like to look it up in the dictionary. What does change mean? It gave a variety of things. The first three were: one, to make or become different; two, to replace or exchange for another; or three, to transform or to be transformed. Now, I think that applies to us as Christians. Do you not? Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, you remember, in John 3, and he said to Nicodemus, who was a leading rabbi of the Jews, he said, unless you be born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. And so to be able to be changed, firstly, you've got to be born again by the Spirit of God. And if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, then you can change for the better. That's what it's about, isn't it? Being changed for the better, for the glory of the Lord Jesus. Peter says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God. Paul says, we are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus from glory to glory by the Holy Spirit. He is the one who indwells us. Kenneth Ulmer, he's a Bible commentator from California, says this: when a baby is born, biologically, it has everything it needs for adulthood. We agree with that? It just has to grow into it. The same is true with our spiritual progress. Godly growth is a providential is a providential journey of becoming what we already are. We know that in Jesus I am justified. I am just as if I'd never sinned. But the grace of going on being perfect will be that one day when we meet with Jesus, and sin and pain, and it would be done away. But at the moment, my position is in God, because God looks on Jesus and pardons me. So I am perfect, but I am being made perfect. I am being changed into the image of the Lord Jesus. We have a spiritual DNA. Paul, speaking to the Christians in Rome, says this: those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You are. Have you got that? Turn to somebody next to you and say, you are a son of God. You got it? You got it? Okay. You got it? You're convinced of that? Good. You see, we come from a position of who we are. And it's because of who we are, we can change, because we have the Holy Spirit within us. Paul, speaking to the Romans, says this: those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Wow. Do you get it? Our inheritance. Wow. For us to grow, change from an infant to a child, to a youth, to an adult, to maturity. You agree we need good nutrition, a good environment, and culture. The family environment. God put us into families. That was God's idea, families. Father, children, mother. Father, with father comes protection and provision and identity. With brothers and sisters and friends comes companionship and friendship. With mother comes comfort, nurture, and teaching. That's in the earthly family, which we all have. But also, am I fiddling around like that? You want me to move over? All right. In the heavenly family, we've got Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, if you like, we can relate, and we relate to them through our earthly parents. So parents, you see our responsibility, because our kids are going to get an idea of what God's like from us. That's the challenge, isn't it? But the family environment. And how important it is when baby's first born, all attention is on baby to nurture it. Lovely, cooing away. When it gets a dirty nappy, we hand it back to mum. but we say, isn't that lovely little one? And it's the centre of attention. It knows it. And then when we start to, it begins to grow and it doesn't have that attention, it begins to yell out because it wants that attention. And we have to train it. But how important are those years in the growth of a child? So it is when we become a new Christian. We need nurturing. We need caring for. Why? So that we can change. That we don't stay a babe. That we begin to grow. Then there's the educational process. Then we get to the teenage years and all that testosterone going around. We have to give them challenges, rightful challenges in their teenage years to harness that growth and that maybe frustration and energy. And we have to give them exploits in the right direction, don't we? And then when they grow up, then they go to further education and they need then discipleship. They need to learn on their own perhaps. But there's a growth through it. So there is a similar one in the spiritual life. You understand me? Am I not too muddly? We need to change. But it is so important that we are in a family environment. And as a church, we need that too. That's why we have growth groups and that sort of thing. It's so that we are one anothering. So that we are having companionship and friendship. that we're under a leadership for protection, provision, our identity, and comfort, nurture, teaching. So essential in our growth and for us to change into his likeness. This one's always stuck with me. I read it in one of the books from Willow Creek, was it? I can't remember. But it's always stuck with me. Values. You say, oh, we've got those Christian values. Have you? Have you? What you do is what you value. What you value is what you do. We as a family sought, I guess, because I was so fortunate. I mean, say, forgive me. If I've said it before, but I'm getting old, you excuse me. My parents weren't a Christian when I was born, but they did the right thing. They took me to Bromley Parish Church and had me christened Trevor Edward Clark. And they went to church on high noon and holidays. But their mum was taken when I was about two, I think. Mum was taken to a women's meeting of an exclusive group of brethren. But you know what? She found Jesus there. Found Jesus. That changed my mum. Although she was a good parent up till then. But now, she's got new values, which she wants to teach to her firstborn. Dad says, no, thank you. My Sunday is on the golf course. You're not getting me to church. Well, praise the Lord, with the help of God, of course, and with the baker, Uncle Reg, and Mum, they persuaded him to go to an evening service. I think it was Elms Hall, Bromley. But he said, don't expect anything funny from me. I'm not going out or anything like that. Oh, yes, it was. It was at Brook Lane. I remember that. It was a baptising service. I'm coming, but and that's my first recollection. The end of the baptizing service, they gave an invitation. My first recollection as a child with my dad was my dad walking to the front, holding me in his arms. Dad was changed. It changed us. Book at bedtime, Daddy Tell Me a Story was one of the books. But also, there were stories from the Bible. They prayed with me. I was nurtured in that environment. So, of course, when we grew up and we had our children, that's what we wanted to do. So we used to eat at the table together. We used to pray together. I got told off by my elders for giving too much of a burden on my kids. I said, I don't agree with you. I beg to differ, sirs. I honour you in other ways. What it was, if we had a problem, if we didn't have any money, or if the car broke down, the kids knew, and we prayed about it together, and they saw the answers. We prayed together. We read the Bible together. Vital. What you value is what you do. We play together, and this is where I did fall down a lot, and I've shared it with you before, because I thought I was so busy about the Lord's work. I could stay up to 11 advising other missionaries and arranging things for them. But when my kids, especially Philip, say, Dad, would you come and play? In a minute, Philip. What impression did my kids get about Father, their Heavenly Father? In a minute, their understanding of God was spoiled because of me. I've got forgiveness for it, both from my kids and from the Lord. What you value is what you do. What you do is what you value. As I've said, getting the children to understand the Trinity from their family relationships, that's the challenge to us parents. But the overall value is what? Is loving each other. Loving each other. And loving God. The early church environment was great, wasn't it? They got it right, in Acts 2 anyway. If you read on a bit, there's some hiccups. But you know it. Let me read it to you. The early church got it right. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. Different situation in the environment in which they were. It wasn't easy. But the Christians were in fellowship with one another, in their homes, in the temple courts. No wonder Dr. Luke could close that chapter 2 of Acts by saying, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." It was by their testimonies, as well as the preaching. They saw the changes in these people. And hey, folks, God can change us too. Amen? So that the people round about will see we're different. Hey, what is it about you? I haven't said anything, but they know. At this point, I will remember when I was at work, suddenly the boss would put round the directive saying, "Notices people are being late or a little bit too much chatter." And it always happened after yours truly was late or was chatting to somebody. And you know, it was true. My boss, Jim, knew I was a Christian and my values. And if they were slipping, he thought, "Oh, it's getting bad here if nobody's being late." And put around a memo. "Oi!" So it was when I erred and slipped up a bit. Because whether we like it or not, we set a standard as Christians. The boss knows if we are a Christian. And in my case, we've got to change, haven't we? Live by the Holy Spirit, living and working in you. There are so many things we could talk about, isn't there, that help us to change in family life. But I've just taken five. Renew your mind. We need to renew our minds in the Spirit. Paul says, the message, wasn't it? Romans 12. Don't let the world press you into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The environment of the world has its effect on us. Now then, if we've been taught these values in our lives and they're in there as a foundation, when we get in a bad environment, It doesn't have to affect us. And Paul says, don't let it, the world, press you into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be confident. Trust. Philippians, Paul speaking to them, says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. But not only that, he says to them, it's God who works in you both to will as well as to act according to his purpose. Thank you, Lord, that you're making me, giving me the will to follow you as well as the enabling to do so. Be confident and trust. Live by the Spirit. Galatians 5, live by the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And then in verse 22 of, was it chapter 5, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, as I was always pointed out to me, time and again, by my mum, there's no S on the end of fruit. It's not fruits. It's the fruit. It's all of those things, folks. We should be being changed. Jean and I pray every morning. You'd be glad to know. But no. But when in our prayers, I always say, Lord, today, help us to display the fruit of the Spirit. And I quote it, not for God's sake, but for mine. Oh, my wife is saying, Amy, you know, because we want to be changed more into his likeness. Put on the armour. Paul, speaking to the Ephesians, you will remember, he speaks about the values of family life. He speaks about the office, where you work, where you live, in the office to show honour, in the home to show honour to parents and parents to children, a place of honour, and to honour God. And then he says to them, speaking of the uniform of the day, which was, of course, the Roman uniform, if you like, or armour. And he says, folks, put on the armour of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of God's righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the belt of truth, our feet shod with the gospel, and the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And you won't be surprised to know that when Jean and I pray every morning, I put on, you might say religiously, but every morning I put on the whole armour of God. Again, it's not for God's sake that I speak it out, it's for mine. This is all that we got, so that we can change. And finally, Paul says to them, and pray for me, and pray for one another. Be alert, and be prayerful. We do this, don't we, as a church? We're going to do it tonight. We do it in our family gatherings. The ladies do it on a Wednesday morning. The other folks on a Monday. We do it on a Sunday morning. And you'll see a notice in the magazine where I talk about our Sozo prayer ministry. And we have found, haven't we? We find that it's to help us to change. All our prayer in praying for one another, we're praying that we'll be changed, we'll be healed from sickness. We pray that God will heal us emotionally. And so in the Sozo ministry, God has blessed it, and those who are some of us in the team, and we're getting there slowly but surely, but God has blessed us and helped us as we allow the Holy Spirit, Father, Son and Spirit, to reveal to us our need. And perhaps we'll hear a couple of testimonies. One testimony. Who's coming? Oh, good man. What about that husband and wife team? I don't look too bad from here. Just relax. Just relax.
Part of the training. Sorry about that. I'm not very used to being out here at the front with the microphone. I had a time with Trevor and Jean, and one of the things that was very important for me was my certain key relationships in my life, namely with my parents and also with my boss. And that comes under the sort of heading of the importance of ties or relationships, key relationships. It's not necessarily at all that there's something kind of really fundamentally wrong. It's just that they're not in the right balance. So part for me, it was just to pray through those key relationships with the help of the approach that Sozo takes, and just to, if you like, recast those relationships. In my case, I am a bit of a pleaser by personality, and with that comes a sort of certain way of viewing things. I also got married to Rachel, which has been an amazing and wonderful thing, back in 2009. And as Rachel has reminded me, and I taking on board, there is the leaving and the cleaving bit. I love my parents very much, but I had been single for a very long time, and they've been a great support to me. But obviously that changes quite fundamentally when you get married, or it should do. And for me, it was just Sozo helped me just pray through those relationships and recast them in a way that is a balanced and appropriate way for me now as a married man, and also with my boss, just to work for him in a right way and not an imbalanced way. Again, partly coming out of this desire to please. So as Trevor was saying, it's been a very important change for me. It's an ongoing process. So it's about an ongoing thing. But it has helped me very greatly in terms of changing those relationships so that they are more right and fitting for both parties, I should say, certainly myself.
Okay, this is difficult. I was abused from the age of 10 for about 4 or 5 years. And I spent my life feeling worthless and unlovable and ashamed. And that marked probably most of my life, the relationships I had and the decisions I made. And it wasn't how God intended. And I'd probably built a rather large fortress around these memories because I didn't want to deal with them. I didn't want to give them to God because they were too painful. And if I thought about them in relation to God, I was angry because I didn't understand why he let me go through them in the first place, and he didn't protect me. So I'd kept them locked in their box. I never told anyone at all, ever, until last summer. And the Holy Sprit, through this Sozo training we were doing, the Holy Sprit kept prompting me that this needed to be left with Jesus, that he had actually already dealt with it, and I needed to be able to trust him enough to leave it with him, but I couldn't do it myself. And then I had my sozo, we call it, my prayer ministry time last December, and the Holy Spirit was prompting me yet again to just deal with these memories, deal with these things that had happened, and so that God could heal me. So the Holy Spirit asked me if it was safe to bring these walls that I'd sort of kept around me all my life, and to let him in, really. So I made that decision that I didn't want to be dragging this baggage around with me anymore, that I would, that I needed to let it go. I needed to leave it with Jesus. So that's exactly what I did. And all I can say, like the blind man, when he said, all I can say was I was blind and now I can see, all I know is that God's healed me from those memories, God's healed me from that past, and I'm free. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Thank you. So in various ways, we are changed, aren't we? We've been changed, we've been born again. And because of that, we can be changed. And by the influence and help of our parents, and through prayer for one another, and for God can do such great things, as we've heard. And we're in the business of change. But it's because we want Jesus to be seen. May the beauty of Jesus, the old hymn I used to sing chorus, may the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wondrous compassion and purity. Amen? That's what we want. A little thing. Illustration. I give full credit to the Staffordshire County Council during the snow, because I don't know about you, but all the major roads were clear. Can you confirm that? Is that true for you? They did a good job, didn't they? Well, what they did is to put a solution of salt on the road. And just that small percentage of salt cleared the roads of the muck and the ice. Jesus says, we are salt and we are light. If you think back a couple of hundred years, or whenever, my history is not very good, but our nation was similar to now. Lost its moral values, etc. But along comes people like, as you know them, Wesley, John Newton, Wilberforce, men who believed in God, who believed not only that they could change, but they believed that the environment could change because they lived out Jesus. We're in the same position, folks. We can change. And the society can be changed. This is next week's, whoever's talking next week. But you can confirm it next week, isn't it? Yes. Let's get excited by it. I have to confess that I've been looking at the papers for the last year, and I was getting very low when I saw the state of our nation and the state of the world. And I completely was losing my hope in the God, my God. And suddenly I've sort of got it again. I've renewed my mind again, saying, no, I am on the victory side. The challenge is that I should live for Jesus. We can change the environment if we allow the Holy Spirit to change us. Amen? Let's ask heaven to come down. When I walk into an office, when I walk into a restaurant, when I walk into a pub, this is a prayer I've written before. We just hear it and sing it together. This is my prayer. God, thank you for your work in me. Bring me into your likeness so others may see Christ lives in me and want to love him too. Help me to honor your name. May I, by your Spirit, bring your kingdom into the home, into the office, the pub, the Phoenix art class, or wherever I am. I acknowledge yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. And yours is the glory. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, you can change. Fine. Sing this together as we close. Stand and sing. Let's I was listening to Bill of Bethel Church earlier in the week, and he said people from UK and other nations come over to their church and they say, can we join your team that go into the supermarkets and heal, and we'd like to be on it while we're here, if we may. And he says, sorry, we don't have any team. We just go and shop. Because the news has been heard that, you know, they've gone in and the supermarket has just, people have been queuing up to be healed. And it's happening. And all it is people allowing the kingdom to come in their lives. And they're going in just shopping. But they're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and to prompt them. And God's kingdom is coming. And in the restaurant, and wherever, in the pub. And so that's what we're singing about, folks, this morning. We can change. And Lord, let your kingdom come and change our society and the environment in which we're in. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. The Lord bless you. Have a great week.